With the Detroit Pistons now picking number 5, we continue to talk about all the prospects that could be available for the Pistons at that selection. We bring on one of the editors over at Detroit Bad Boys to talk about his big board and multiple prospects and what his ideas and thoughts are on these guys in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, or if you're one of the 50% of people who are watching this on YouTube and haven't hit that subscribe button already, what are you waiting for? Hit that subscribe button over at Locked On Pistons YouTube channel. We're on our way to 3,000 subscribers. Continuing to show Locked On, we are the best and fastest growing fan base at the Locked On Network. So again, best way to support the podcast, Locked On Pistons YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button. So over the last week and a half or so, we've just spent the entire time, ever since the lottery, we've just been talking nonstop, prospects. And that's going to continue to happen until we get to the draft. And we brought on multiple different guests. We're going to continue to bring on multiple guests to talk about different prospects, their big board, who do they think is going to go where, et cetera, et cetera. And that's no different today. Today, we're bringing on Lazarus Jackson, one of the editors over at Detroit Bad Boys, also the host of the Pistons Verse Pod. How you doing? Thank you for coming on, man.
No problem, Koo. Thank you for having me. I'm doing good. It's good to be here. We were just talking about pre-show how I haven't been here in the YouTube era. And so it's let me get my camera right. Let me make sure we got everything going so I don't look bummy on YouTube. But thank you for having me, bro. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Appreciate you coming on. So before we even start talking about anything, man, you know where I'm going. I have to ask you, what was your reaction to the Pistons falling? Because everyone knows how I feel. People were not happy with how upset I was. But what was your reaction? Keep it in a stack. What was your reaction?
I was disappointed. Like, I'm gonna be honest. I was disappointed. But what had mentally prepared me was Keith Black, Charlatan on Twitter. He had posted a video showing like all the times the Pistons had fallen in the lottery, like in their history, like prior to the draft or prior to the lotto. And I watched that and I was like, yeah, tonight may not go the way I hope it does. So I was mentally and emotionally prepared, but that didn't make it any easier, right? I was still disappointed. And then Sacramento of all teams is the one that jumped.
Exactly, like, right? On, like, what does Sacramento do to deserve this?
Like, yes, exactly. But like, you know, Troy Weaver came out after the press conferences, like, we got 7 dudes we like. 7's a very interesting number considering where teams landed in the lottery. And
I'm assuming you're mostly talking about Portland in that case.
Yeah, I'm alluding to Portland. Yes, absolutely. But I think it was just, you know, as long as you have the correct decision maker making the decisions, I think you just have to be comfortable with where the chips fall. And so it's like, yeah, we'll see what ends up happening. But like, yeah, I was initially very disappointed, but now like, as we've gone through it, it's like, okay, he's like, let's make the most of this, right? Like, let's get this right. So
yeah, that's basically where I've ended up. But everyone knows how disappointed I was on lottery. Everyone was pretty mad at me for how disappointed I was. But I feel no regrets. I was very disappointed and very, very angry that night. But I think I kind of talked about this with Bryce last week, that, you know, we were talking about possibly having him come on the podcast about Chet or Jabari or Paolo, and I was like, oh well, guys, just scrap all of that because that's not happening now. And I kind of joked with Laz about that before the podcast. So let's go ahead and just jump right into it, taking those guys off the board. I'll ask you about your big board a little later. I know you said it's under construction. We'll get that going a little later. But let me just ask you this: who are the, if you had to like go through like 3 or 4 prospects that you think will be there at 5 that the Pistons are going to end up having to choose from, what prospects are you looking at there?
So when I think about the prospects that are going to be there at 5 for sure, I'm thinking about Keegan Murray. I'm thinking about Shaedon Sharpe. I'm thinking about Benedict Mathurin. And I'm thinking about AJ Griffin. I'm thinking about AJ Griffin. I think AJ Griffin is a guy who isn't getting mentioned enough in that conversation, which is a little weird. Well, it's understandable to me when you watch his film because he's a very odd player. But the combination of skills he has is still like something that would be really valuable for this Pistons team. And so I'm not like surprised he's not talked about as much, but like I think he should be in that mix. Absolutely.
Fair enough. So there's one guy that you didn't mention. I guess we'll just work our way all the way down through all the prospects throughout the throughout this podcast. So you didn't mention Jaden Ivey, and I think that's because most of us believe he'll probably be gone in the top four. And if he does fall to the Pistons, I feel like most people have the Pistons. If he falls that far, you have to take him, basically. So what's your thoughts on Jaden Ivey? Do you think he fits with Kay Cunningham? Are you worried about their potential fit together? What's your overall thoughts about him as a prospect?
I like Jaden Ivey. I do not think he is a good fit next to Cade Cunningham. I would prefer a different type of player next to Cade Cunningham. Not necessarily like a better player, just a different player. And I do worry that Jaden Ivey is going to end up in a situation where he has to do a little bit too much. He has to play the things that aren't his strengths, and that will be like ruinous for him as a prospect. Like, I understand why a lot of people are definitely like into Jaden Ivey. I understand, like, you know, the athleticism, the shooting improvements he made from his freshman to his sophomore year, the ability to give the Pistons like a dimension that they don't have from the guard room right now. Like, you know me, like last year I was all about the jumpy jump dudes because it was so obvious that the Pistons didn't have a guy who could act as a pick and roll threat and finish lobs for Cade and Killian. Like this year, it's like, yeah, the Pistons like don't have anybody who is like a really athletic, like guard, like rim penetrator, and like Jaden Ivey can absolutely do that. And so, like, I see why people see that making a lot of sense. And like, I don't think of as Hamidou as a guard. Like, I'm thinking of Hamidou as a wing. And so, like, that's why the backcourt. But yeah, also,
I'm not even sure if Hamidou's even going to return either. So
yeah, there's that too. Yeah, and so like I think Ivy's going to be a good player, but I don't think he is the right fit for the Pistons when you look at some of the other guys that are going to be available. Other people disagree with me. Like, I'm fine with that. You know, this is not like a couple of years ago where it's like I'm standing alone on a hill. I feel like there are a lot of good options for the Pistons at five. It's also weird to me because, like we talked about at the top, like, I feel like if Sacramento doesn't take Jaden Ivey at four, like another team will trade up to get Jaden Ivey at four. So I don't really think he will be an option for the Pistons, like, anyway. You know, like, you know, it is Sacramento. Something could happen, right? Like, there was a picture. There's a Rafael Barlow, who I think who still does Locked On Draft.
He's here with Locked On.
Yeah, he posted a Dyson Daniels, like, 1-on-0 workout at the Combine. And Dyson Daniels is apparently like 6'8", 6'9", and just like stroking like 25 threes in a row. And it's like, okay, maybe Sacramento does like that instead, right? And like then Jaden Ivey is available. So anything's like possible, but I'm not really factoring in Jaden Ivey to like my plans for the Pistons at this time. That's going to be reflected in the new big board when it drops.
Fair enough. So I want to stay with right there for a second. Then we'll move on. We'll get the ad break in. We'll move into some other prospects. But one of the things I'm hearing about Jaden Ivey, I went and watched a couple of scouting report videos on him. I've watched some tape on him over the last like 3 days or so. And I tweeted out something about his left hand versus right hand finishes, left hand versus right hand drives, etc. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I'm hearing about him from a lot of people who are like in his camp, like in his, oh, draft him camp, is that he has insanely high ceiling. Do you agree with that? Do you think he has like one of the higher ceilings in the draft? And are you okay with, I know you said you have questions about their fit with Cade. I also do. But do you think at five, you can get a guy with, quote unquote, that type of ceiling? Do you just take him anyways, despite the fit?
So I do agree that Jaden Ivey has a really high ceiling. Like, when you're that type of athlete, like, you always have the potential to be a star in the NBA. The way I'm viewing it, though, is that I think the chance that he hits his like ceiling outcome is low enough to where I feel comfortable like not projecting that to happen, right? So I do think there are like Shaedon Sharpe is another guy with like a really high athletic potential, which also like translates into stardom. He's younger, and so I think if you were going to go like purely for an upside pick, like I do think you would head in like a down like the Shaedon Sharpe path for the Pistons. So it's like, I think he ends up a really good player. I just don't think he ends up like a multi-time all-star. Like, you see the names that people compare Jaden Ivey to. It's like Ja Morant, John Wall, Russell Westbrook, like those level of guys. John Wall is actually kind of an interesting comparison because John Wall was like, John Wall was always like the seventh or eighth best point guard in the league, like even like when he was hot like that. And like obviously his career is like taking a downturn after all the injuries and everything, but like even John Wall was like a much better playmaker and passer than Jaden Ivey is. And so it was like, well, if Jaden Ivey's gonna be John Wall but like not able to see the floor as well, it's like what kind of like where does that get you, right? Like so it's, I'm just not, you know, I was like, yes, I agree that Jaden Ivey has a very high ceiling. I just think that he has a very low chance of hitting that high ceiling.
So you mentioned something there that we're going to transition to the second segment, and it's Shaedon Sharpe, who, yeah, I'm not going to lie to you, Laz, that's where I'm leaning at right now, mm-hmm. Where I'm at May 22nd, 2022. So, but before we talk about Shaedon Sharpe,
the timestamp.
Yeah, yeah. Before we get into Shaedon Sharpe, I had to tell you guys about one of our sponsors. First up, let me tell you guys a little bit about Prize Picks. All right, NBA fans, are you looking for a daily fantasy option for the NBA? Then you need to try the award-winning app Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this, and we know that you will too. It's really easy to use. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's really that easy. Prize Picks is safe, and it offers fast withdrawals. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from points scored to rebounds and even steals. Prize Picks also allows mixed sports entries. For example, during the football season, I was always, and I mean always, taking the under on Jared Goff's passing yards, but the over on Kay Cunningham's points scored. That's the kind of thing you can do over at Prize Picks. And it's not just NBA, NFL. You can do college basketball, college football, MLB, soccer, MMA, and more. And for a limited time, Prize Picks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our users. You just get $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores a singular point, but you must use code NBA. That's right. This is an exclusive offer available to Locked On fans. Sign up today and use code NBA to get $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores a singular point. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. So I got to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We're free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, you guys get the jazz. Head over to the YouTube channel. Hit that lock, or not the lockdown button. Hit the subscribe button. I'd really appreciate it. My God, what's in my throat? Let me get a sip of water real quick. Hold on.
You're good. You see me with the water bottle too.
Yeah, I don't know what just happened. I just ran out of voice for a minute there. But anyways, hit the subscribe button over at the Lockdown Pistons YouTube channel. I'd really appreciate it. Best way to support the podcast, all that good stuff. All right, so Laz, you mentioned Shaedon Sharpe. And for the listeners, we're going to have an episode, I believe, I don't know when I'm going to schedule it, but we're recording it later on today. Yes, I'm a busy man this weekend. We're going to schedule it, I think, on Thursday. So stay tuned for that. But we got a special episode just for him. But that's where I'm leading as of right now. Now, it very well may change. We got like a month ago, and there's a bunch of other prospects I'm going to end up talking about. But I'm kind of leading towards Shaedon Sharpe. And Laz, you kind of just mentioned him. So what's your thoughts on Shaedon Sharpe? Obviously, I just had Ant Wright on the podcast yesterday. And he talked about how he hates mystery boxes and that Shaedon Sharpe is a mystery box. What's your thoughts on him as a prospect?
I also don't love mystery boxes, and Shaedon Sharpe is a mystery box. But from what we've seen from him so far, like, I definitely understand like why other people are so high on him. And I'm more into the idea. Like, I'm more into the broad outlines. My questions with him are like the same questions you have with like any 19-year-old prospect, right? Like, does he play defense, right? Like, does, like, if you get him into a situation where he needs to use his left hand, will he? Because he didn't have to at the high school level. It's like, that's just because he's so athletically dominant. It's like, what, you know, what kind of playmaker and like floor, like how well can you see the floor? You saw a little bit of it in transition. But a lot of what I've seen from him in high school, he's either used like as an off-ball threat, or he's on the ball, like taking a lot of like pull-up threes and going to the basket. And so it's like out of isolations, right? Like not out of pick and roll, just like him and a guy. And it's like, just beat the guy, go to the rim, dunk on him. It's like, okay, cool. He can do that. But like, it's pretty fair to say like he won't be able to do that to everybody in the NBA when he first gets here. And so, you know, what will he do when he can't just like sidestep to the right and like knock down pull up threes over people, right? I think about a lot of people on Twitter love Anfernee Simons, right? The Portland guard. He had a huge breakout season this year. And I think about his career path, right? Like, he took a year, I think it was IMG, after graduating high school, never went to college, drafted by the Portland Trailblazers. And it took him, like, I think this is year three for him. And it took him, like, a solid, like, 2.5 years to, like, get to where he is now. But, like, right now, he seems like he's a long-term starter for them. Maybe ends up, like, a sub-all-star level player, but, like, a very good, efficient offensive player, like, with size. And I think Shaden is, like, a little bit, like that, but also taller and more athletic. And so, like, that's a very, very interesting package. The thing with Shaden Sharpe is, like, you're going to have to trust – like all the off-court stuff that we don't know, like what kind of worker is he, right? Like, I know it leaves a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths that he, like, didn't play college basketball. It's like, well, you know, why didn't he play college basketball? Like, I have no insight into that, but, like, that the answer to that question, I think, will be of paramount importance to Troy Weaver and the front office, right? It's like, what, you know, how concerned is he with getting better? Right, it's like a lot of guys want to get better, but a lot of guys, like, need to get better. And so it's like, which kind of guy is he? And so I'm really intrigued by Shaden Sharpe. I think he will be higher on this next iteration of the big board than Jaden Ivey. But I don't think he'll be, like, the highest guy that will be available to the Pistons at five. But I'm definitely more intrigued in him than Jaden Ivey.
All right, so you guys may have seen me looking down a few times. That's because I'm trying to write down all this stuff that Lass is saying, because he's saying multiple things that I kind of want, like, put a pin in, because I want to bring up. So the first thing I want to say is that I watched this scouting report film study, and it's from T and Rockets on YouTube. They only have, like, what is it, like 500 subscribers, but I thought this was an amazing breakdown into Shaden Sharpe's game at the – but what was it called?
It's like Peach Jam or EYBL.
Yeah. That right there. So he broke down his film there, and I thought he did a great job of staying, you know, bring out his weaknesses, his strengths, and kind of pointing everything out, that some of the minor things. I don't want to dive into all of that right now, because, like I said, we have an episode coming out where we really try to dive into it. But some of the things I really like from him, obviously, his athleticism is, like, off the charts. Like, he's an insane athlete. But, like, there's some things that, like, some of his footwork and, like, step backs and all that stuff looks really sharp. I like his form. I think his form is translatable to the NBA. And then also, I heard you mention him as a passer. He didn't do a lot of passing, but something that this guy pointed out in his film study that actually I didn't think about and I thought was really impressive, or not impressive, but something to think about, is that he routinely made, like, the skip ahead pass in transition, routinely made the pass off of rebounds. And showcase some ability to be able to drive and kick and never panic off traps or anything. Now, obviously, I believe that's, like, AAU type of basketball, so obviously it's not like college basketball or anything, but these are, like, the kind of things you have to try to look for if you're going to look at you have to look at something, basically, and that's all you got right now. So those are some few things that I saw from him that I like, some minor things. But overall, when we get to that episode, you'll see why I'm pretty high on him. But I understand he's a mystery box, and I get why people don't really like mystery boxes. One of the things you said, though, that I have written down right here that I want to bring up, and this has been, like, at the core of some arguments over the last few days on Twitter with me, and I've been attacked by some people for this, but so I want to get your opinion on this. You mentioned how long it took Anfernee Simons to come along. I think, based off the people I listened to, based on the reports I've read, the scouting reports, etc., that it's going to take Shaden Sharpe some time. He's not going to come in, he's going to be, like, immediate starter and be able to have immediate impact type of stuff. It's going to take him some time. Like, I think probably a few years, like 2 to 3 years of time to really get there. I said on Twitter, and this is what really got some, like, backlash, is that I don't know if the Pistons, anyone in the Pistons, important people, take this what you want, important people on the roster and people surrounding them have the patience for a project. What do you think about that statement? Do you see that kind of thing, or do you think that's a little bit overblown for me to bring up?
I think that is absolutely something you should think about. I don't think you're wrong to bring that up. I'm not super worried about it right now. I think the the plan for this year is to be more competitive than last year, but still bad. And so if you're going to be bad, it's you're talking about degrees of bad, right? And so if you end up in a situation where like you take Shaedon Sharpe, and like I sympathize with you because I got attacked on Twitter as well for me being like, he starts the year in Grand Rapids. Like you don't throw him immediately into the fire like 25 minutes a night against like NBA players. Like that's dumb. And people were like, no, like he's better than Corey Joseph already. And it's like, I hate to tell you this, but like Corey Joseph is a better NBA player than Shaedon Sharpe, like at this exact moment. It's like 2 years from now, like that will not be the case. But like right now, like you don't have to do that. And so I think, and like the other thing that's like a confounding variable with all this is that next year's draft is like way better than this year's draft. And so like getting the fifth or seventh or eighth or second pick in that year's draft is way more enticing than this year, perhaps. But I do understand the desire that you already have your franchise tentpole. He likes winning, and you don't want to make him mad by not winning purposefully, you know, or, you know, not showing the type of progression that, you know, would make your star franchise centerpiece like happy over the course of like, you know, 2 years. He's not seeing the development he would like. It's like, I don't want Cade Cunningham to be mad at the Pistons. I don't want Cade Cunningham to be frustrated like with the team's direction, but the chances of him not taking like an extension that's offered to him on his like rookie deal are so low that like I'm not worried about like losing Cade Cunningham anytime soon. Like he was the number one overall pick. Like post rookie maxes are going to be like, as we're seeing with DeAndre Ayton, post rookie max is going to be like 30 mil a year. It's like, he's not turning that down, right? Like the thing you worry about is the Ben Simmons, where he gets the post rookie max and like then demands the trade. So like you want to be, but that's like year five. So will he still be mad about stuff in year five that happened in year two? Like depends on the stuff. But like, if you have three more years of development, three more years of growth to build on, and he feels in a much more comfortable place, like I'm not worried about it as much. No. So like, no, I don't think the team like needs to be super duper competitive like next year for so like Cade doesn't want to leave. Like, no, I'm not worried about that.
Fair enough. So I'll end it and give my full opinion on it right here, and then we'll move on to Keegan Murray and some of these other guys. So basically what I'm trying to get to, and I've said this on the podcast to you guys a few times now, is that I'm pretty concerned. I don't have complete belief that the Pistons will have the patience to develop a project for 2 to 3, like a guy who will, like people get this confused, and at least on Twitter and some of the comments, people get this confused when I'm talking about develop a player. I'm not saying the Pistons do not develop players. They do develop players. Dwayne Casey's one of his big things is that he's supposed to be a good guy at developing. I'm talking about a project. Like Laz said, he'd already getting like come at by Pistons fans because he mentioned playing in the G League initially. Like, this is the kind of patience we're talking about. Like, you're not going to see him in the starting lineup initially. You're not going to see him getting 30 minutes a night initially. Like, it's going to be a long process to develop this dude. So I don't have complete belief in the Pistons patience-wise to do that. I don't have complete belief that – I agree with you about Kay. I don't think Kay's going to, like, ask out of Detroit. Like, that doesn't make sense. But I don't think that – let me just stop walking around it. I don't believe Cade and his camp are going to be cool with – tanking again. I don't think they'll be cool with that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the kind of route you'll probably end up taking if you get Shaedon Sharpe. I don't think he's going to be an impact prospect. And my opinion is, if you draft him, you shouldn't be going out and taking big swings in free agency either. You should just, like you said, next year's draft is pretty good. If you're going to take Shaedon Sharpe, just do it again next year then and try to get another top pick again and combine them, and then go big fish hunting if you want. Yeah, that's why I just don't believe the Pistons and Pistons fans. I really don't believe they have the patience for a damn thing. I don't think they have patience. I don't think they have patience for a dude at all. Like, I really don't believe that. So I just feel like that there's probably maybe for Shaedon Sharpe a better situation for him, a team that will have a team and a fan base and a community and like maybe a situation team roster wise that will have the patience for him. I have some concerns that the Pistons are that team that will have that type of patience with him. So I like him. I really want, to be honest, if I didn't have those concerns, I really want the Pistons to take him because that's why I'm leaning. It's just those concerns are very present with me, and it might scare me away from picking him.
No, I hear you. I hear you. I'm gonna pitch you my Unity ticket idea at the end of this podcast.
Oh, no. Okay. Unity. Right. Fair enough. When we come back, we'll figure out what that means, and then we'll also talk about some Keegan Murray stuff. We'll see where Laz is on him. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's not impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need. Why endure often pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning, like is your Odyssey an LX, and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts for their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home or in your pocket on your phone. Save time and money when you're using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store, but only $216 from Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business, been doing it for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every single customer there is. They have everything you could possibly need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even a new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Again, go to rockauto.com. You'll see all the parts available for your car or truck. And don't forget to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons. Hit that subscribe button on our way to 3,000 subscribers. I'd really appreciate it. Best way to support the podcast, all that good stuff. All right. So do you want to talk about Keegan Murray, or do you want to talk about the Unity thing?
We need to talk about Keegan Murray first. So let's do Keegan Murray.
Okay. So let's go. I'm going to go ahead and give you my thoughts on Keegan Murray thus far, because we talked about this with Ant Wright as well, and we'll probably talk about Keegan Murray a lot over the next month, because it sounds like the Pistons are pretty high on him based on what I've read.
Yes.
So my initial thoughts, and I'll openly say it, they're somewhat ignorant thoughts, because I haven't dove into him completely, and it's based off just scouting reports I've read and listened to, like I said, Ant Wright yesterday, recording with him, and some of the other guys I trust, like Hal, who's been on the podcast a few times, listening to them talk about him.
Hal is very anti-Keegan Murray right now.
Oh, yes, I see. So, like I said, this is a somewhat of an ignorant opinion, but I have done some reading, so I don't feel like it's as ignorant of an opinion right now. But either way, I see he's somewhat of a polished. I feel like the best way to say it is that he's a polished off-ball player offensively, is what I feel like. He has some versatility defensively. He's a little older, which I don't know if you use that as a negative. But I definitely don't think it's a positive. Like, I wouldn't say it's a negative, but I wouldn't use it as a positive either, probably. He's old. He's, like, going to be, 22 at the start of the regular season?
I think so, yeah.
So, I do feel like he'd be a – he like, that type of archetype, I feel like, is a perfect fit off-ball next to Cade. However, I don't know if you've seen my tweets about this, and people got mad at me about this one, too, but it was a joke. It was a joke, everybody. It was a joke that I said this. Somewhat of a joke. It's not a good comparison. I'm not saying it was a good comparison, but you guys get the idea. I said the Pistons didn't tank for two seasons to draft Cam Johnson at number 5. Like that wasn't the play here. That's not something I'm cool with. So that basically why I'm saying that is that I've heard that his ceiling is definitely much lower than a lot of other people, and people question how much better he can really get. So with that, do you have those same concerns about Keegan Murray? You can talk about some of the good things you love about him, but eventually, do you see those ceiling concerns as well with him? And do you feel like he can still, you know, reach, like Ant Wright yesterday, he was pretty high on Keegan Murray, but he said he doesn't see him ever becoming an all-star. Mm-hmm. Do you think that he has that type of ceiling, or do you think that the ceiling concerns are legit?
I think the ceiling concerns are slightly overblown, but like, I get it, right? Like I think a lot of it is because of his age. Like he's 21 going on 22. I think you said, like you mentioned, he'll be 22 before the season starts, and he's a good athlete, but not like a crazy good athlete. And so it's hard to see, like, with the level of skill development stuff he's got right now, it's, and him already being 22, like, people don't expect him to be able to, like, build up to a point where he'll be an all-star like on the timeline that guys usually are on when they're drafted top five. It's like, I get it. I also did not, or I agree that I, you know, you don't want to tank 2 years to draft Cam Johnson at five. It's like, but if you're talking about taking for a third year, it's like, would you tank 2 years to draft like Pascal Siakam? Like, maybe, right? I think, and I do think Keegan Murray like has that type of upside where he's like a fringe all-star, like fringe all-NBA guy. If I don't think all-NBA teams have come out yet, but I think like Pascal is like definitely like in contention for an all-NBA spot.
No, I don't want to cut you off, but that's actually amazing. It's really interesting to hear you say that because that's the exact player Ant Wright brought up yesterday too, Pascal Siakam.
Yeah. I mean, I think Pascal is a nicer, like people leverage the Tobias Harrison comparison like as a weapon because Tobias is the like fourth option on his team now and is getting paid an insane amount of money to be the fourth option. And so, you know, Tobias has always kind of been an underwhelming player given his skill set. Like I was on this when he was a Piston. It just always felt like there should be more there, and there like kind of wasn't, except for that 1 year he played for the Clippers. But I think Keegan Murray like has more upside than he's being given credit for, right? I think it's like did you read the profile from him on The Ringer from Myron Fader? It's like, so you know, he had like a huge growth spurt late. He took the prep year after he graduated high school in order to get D1 offers, right? It's like, so that's why he's older. Like, I respect that, right? Like, knowing that, like, hey, like, I'm like, I feel like I'm a D1 player. It's like, I'm only getting D2 offers. Like, let me like work on my game get to the point where like I can find a D1 offer and getting it, right? I think if you're 6'8 and you have like above average but not elite athleticism, and you can shoot and you can pass, and like you can, and I, this is not something that's going to come up all the time, but he did make a lot of hay out of like posting up guards and stuff in Iowa's offense. It's like, that's the type of thing like you can use in a playoff setting, maybe not like consistently, but like that's the type of thing that like comes in handy, like when the matchups like really drill down. Like, I think Keegan Murray could be like a really, really useful piece for this Pistons team. Like I compared him to Sadiq Bey a little bit, like when in that draft Sadiq was kind of viewed as like this like polished, finished like 3-and-D product, and like as we're seeing now, like he's made strides in areas that people like didn't think he necessarily could make strides in, like as a prospect. And so I think there's a lot of that with Keegan Murray as well. If Keegan Murray improves his handle, like I think there's a level of upside there that people like aren't giving him credit for. It's like the handle improvements allow you to create separation a little bit better. They allow him to like diversify his finishing package. That is one thing that's a little bit of a concern. He had a lot of spin moves to the right hand for Keegan Murray, and like that's not, you're not gonna be able to get away with that all the time in the NBA. But yeah, just, you know, being a really diversely gifted offensive player in that frame, I think that's really valuable. I get why people aren't as excited about him, because he's not like, he doesn't like jump over dudes like Jaden Ivey, and he's not 19 with the longest arms I've ever seen on a 6'5" guy like Shaedon Sharpe. But like I do think there's a level of star upside there that he's not getting credit for.
So you brought up something about his right hand. Didn't something just come out today saying that he's like initially left-handed?
Yeah, he's the inverse Luke Kennard, right? Like he's actually left-handed, but he shoots basketball with his right. And I think his twin brother shoots basketballs with the left hand. And so like that's just like a weird, interesting thing about both of them. But yeah, no, I think there's absolutely a place for him to get better, like with his left as a handler.
Fair enough. All right, so I'll just say this. So you mentioned Pascal Siakam. Some other comparisons that I'm looking at the Ringer right now, half form, is Al Horford and TJ Warren. I like the Pascal Siakam one. My thing is just, let me just ask you this, and then I'll like go further with what I'm saying. If you, if this is like next year's draft or another or a better draft, is he going like top seven, top eight, or is he going late lottery?
That's a good question. Now he's probably going like 8-9, okay. Right? In a better draft. But that's true of a lot of guys, right? Like that's, it's like, funnily, like that is my argument for Jaden Ivey. Like in a better class, I think Jaden Ivey is getting a bump because he is almost by default the best guard in the class, because he's the guard prospect most people have seen. It's like, I think he's getting a bump just off of that, right? Like in a normal draft class, you would have like a Trae Young level prospect, and then you'd have like a Buddy Hield level prospect, and then you have like Jaden Ivey like fighting with that Buddy Hield level prospect for like the second best guard in the class. If Anthony Edwards is in this class, like Jaden Ivey's going eighth, right? Like that's just like how it is. And so like I Keegan Murray is not the only person who is benefiting from this class being weak at the top, meaning there's no like Evan Mobley, Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green situation.
Fair enough. All right. Well, I mean, I feel like I'm going to be going back and forth on Keegan Murray, man, because yeah, I've watched some tape on him, man. There's people who are really high on him, people who are really low on him. I've been going back and forth because some of the stuff I'd be seeing from him, it's very polished. Like, he seems like a kind of guy. And the thing that it's from The Ringer. I forget who wrote it, but I read it as well. I know his dad is from the Michigan area, right? His dad's from the Michigan area and also played basketball. So he has that kind of built in, like he knows what it takes to get stuff done, work ethic, et cetera, all those kind of things. And like I said, some of the things I saw from him, it looks like a player who just knows how to play. He knows what his strengths and weaknesses are. He's not going to go out there. He's not going to do anything stupid. He's not about to go out there and make a bunch of mistakes. So that's interesting. And something that you said just during what you were talking about that I've been kind of thinking about in the back of my head, that's kind of keeping me somewhat like, okay, if they take my five, I see, like, I understand it, is the Sadiq Bey comparison. Because a lot of the things I'm hearing about him was what I was hearing about Sadiq after the draft as well. Like, he's an older prospect. He's more of a finished prospect. He's probably not going to take that big of a leap. He doesn't have much more to improve on. And the people, like you were mentioning, that, you know, didn't think Sadiq could really improve stuff after his rookie season. I was one of them. I didn't think that I mean,
me too. Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't see it happen. I was questioning his processing. I didn't think he'd actually be able to get to the, you know, create for himself, that kind of thing. And some of that vastly improved during the first 24 games of the season this past year. So if that's what we're looking at, it makes me have a little bit more positivity towards him. But I think as of right now, like I said, May 22nd, I'm probably still with Shaedon Sharpe at this point, because I just think his ceiling is just too interesting to me. It's too tantalizing. It's like,
all right, cool. So now I'm gonna hijack your podcast now, and I'm gonna present to you the Unity ticket. Right, okay. This is gonna make everybody happy. Right, so draft 1, 2, 3, boom, guys are done. 4, Jaden Ivey, sure. Like Dyson Daniels, sure. Like we're. Anybody like Sacramento doing weird stuff? Sure, like go for it. At 5, the Pistons take Keegan Murray. At 6, the Pacers don't take Shaedon Sharpe because classically they are the type of front office and team that has preferred to go with more like established players. Like I also don't think the Pacers have the patience to like develop Shaedon Sharpe properly, or not, like they could, but I don't think like that is what they like want to do with their NBA prospects, right? And so like at 7, you pull off the Jeremy Grant trade. Like now that you have Keegan Murray in hand, you have an instant like ready-made Jeremy Grant replacement. You trade Jeremy Grant to Portland for 7, and then you take Shaedon Sharpe. So you walk out of the draft with the established you know, higher upside than I say he has a higher upside, but people think of him as low upside. But like you walk away with like a guy that you think can make an instant impact in Keegan Murray, and you walk away with the mystery box in Shaedon Sharpe, and the mystery box spends a little time with the crews. It's like maybe the mystery box is like way too good for the G League right away. You bring the mystery box up, and he's like in the starting lineup, or he's off the bench coming off Cade. But like you get both sides of the issue, right? Like that's why it's the Unity ticket. You're bringing people together. You get both. Like that is my proposal. What do you think of the Unity ticket?
I'll definitely take that. I'd love that. So my two questions for you is, real quickly before we wrap up, because I don't want to keep you much longer. One, do you think Shane Sharpe has more of a chance to falling to seven than he does cracking the top four? And two, do you think the Pistons could actually swing a trade with Portland seven?
I do. So, I mean, two first. I do think they could swing the trade with Portland. I don't, from what I've been hearing, Jeremy Grant is not Portland's like first target with that seventh overall pick, but some of their other targets, like, I don't think are going to be that available. And so I think that Jeremy Grant is like a nice mix of like who they could get for the seventh overall pick and like who fits what they're trying to do. Like with that team, which is like build around and turn the team around really quickly around Damian Lillard, right? So I do think that's possible. And like, of course, in order for this to work, like you got to like know this is happening in advance, because otherwise you just like take Sharp at five or whatever. So second, it's like would Sacramento take Shaedon Sharpe at four, or would another team take Shaedon Sharpe in the top three and like mess everything up? Of the teams at the top, I could see OKC taking Shaedon Sharpe. OKC has just been like, we're going to take the best talent. We don't care about, like, we are trying to accumulate talent. We don't care, like, what it looks like. If Sam Presti decides that Shaedon Sharpe is the best, second best player in this draft, he's going to draft him. You know, like, Shea, Giddy, Dort, Maladone, Trey Mann, like, doesn't, like, they'll make it work, right? Like, they'll figure out a home for those guys. It's like, will Sam Presti arrive at that conclusion? I don't know, man. Like, I don't be talking to Sam like that. Like, I don't have his phone number, but I do think that everything is pointing towards the top three guys going in the top three, and then either Sacramento taking Jaden Ivey or trading to a team who wants Jaden Ivey for something that will help them be more competitive in the Western Conference immediately. Shaedon Sharpe does not really accomplish that. We've talked about the development time he's going to need. Sacramento wants to be good right away. And Shaedon Sharpe doesn't help them do that. The thing that's like scarier for the Unity ticket proposal is if Sacramento takes Keegan Murray, who would actually be like a pretty good fit for them. And as we talked about,
would be helpful for them
right away. And if Keegan Murray's off the board, like, you still make the Jeremy Grant trade, right? You could take AJ Griffin at seven. You could take Shaedon Sharpe at five. Like, you could do some other stuff. But like the baseline pitch is Keegan Murray and Shaedon Sharpe, which I think makes everybody in Pistons land happy.
Fair enough. I agree with that. If they could pull that off, I'd be very happy. Yeah. We talked about, we had Locked On Trailblazers host on here last week. And from what he's saying and what I've been, I've been hearing the same thing you've been hearing as well. But I think they eventually try to make a way to get this Jeremy Grant on Portland. I think he eventually gets there. I still think the number one destination for him is Portland. And I think it'll be interesting. One thing that you mentioned that we're not going to get into here, cause we're already at 43 minutes. I'm going to wrap this up. But if Shaedon Sharpe were to go top three, I think the Pistons should entertain trying to move up to four and get, whether that's Chet or Paolo. I think Chet goes number one. So I think whoever falls, whether that's Paolo or Jabari, then to four, I think they definitely should be calling the Kings trying to move up. Now, I've said this before. I think the Jeremy Grant is really the key to just everything that goes on this offseason. Like, you need to figure out what it is you want to do. Because if you trade him for four in that scenario I just brought up, or if you trade him for seven, are you able to still possibly do a sign trade for with Phoenix and DeAndre Ayton if you're still into him? If you want to go DeAndre Ayton and try to get a sign trade there, then are you still going to try to get another lottery pick? How you're going to do, like, this, you have to choose what route they're going to do. And that's, I think Jeremy Grant's going to be the key to everything this offseason. So we're going to have to wait and to see what Troy Weaver's plan is with that, but we'll wrap it up there. Laz, thank you for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. Let everybody know where they can find you, your podcast, your work, etc.
No, thanks again for having me, Koo. You can follow me on Twitter at Laz Chance. That's at LazChance. I host the Detroit Bad Boys podcast, which is coming out much less frequently than the Locked On Pistons podcast is coming out right now, but still comes out. So subscribe to that and download it when it comes out. And of course, you can read anything I write on Detroit Bad Boys. We just finished up our like player review section. Our fearless editor, Sean Corp, did a fantastic job of just finding all the film on basically like all the top 15 guys, and like just handing it to our writers and saying like, here, like, you know, watch, like, pick a guy, watch all the film, like, tell us what you think. And we got a lot of really good pieces out of it. And I can't wait to see like what we've got coming up next for the site.
Absolutely. Make sure you guys go check it out at Detroit Bad Boys. Again, last, thank you for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. I think it was a lot of fun. Let me know what you guys think about the Unity suggestion by Laz. I think that was a really good pitch right there. I'm taking it. I'm buying it, though. All right. Thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. Make sure you guys are checking out Locked On NBA, from the first jump ball of the play-in tournament to the last possession of the finals. Locked On experts take you deep inside the playoffs with inside analysis affecting all 30 teams. Until the next one, we're going to have a ton of more podcasts this week talking about all these prospects. It's going to be a lot of fun. Stay tuned. Until the next time, I'll see you guys later. Enjoy the playoffs. I'll see you guys later. Peace out, everybody.